We thank the Lord for His mercy. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our first Scripture reading, and that will be in Psalm 105. Psalm 105, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered His covenant forever, the word which He commanded to a thousand generations, which covenant He made with Abraham, and His oath unto Isaac. And He confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, Unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when they were but a few in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people. He suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, He reproved kings for their sakes, saying, Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, He called for a famine upon the land, and he brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. Until the time that His word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. And he greatly increased his people. And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. Their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of their kings. He spake, and there came diverse sorts of flies and lice in all their coasts. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. He smote their vines also and their fig trees, and brake the trees of their coasts. He spake, and the locusts came, and caterpillars, and that without number, and did eat up all the herbs in their land, and devoured the fruit of their ground. He smote also all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them had fell upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and He brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. For He remembered His holy promise, and Abraham, His servant. He brought forth His people with joy, and His chosen with gladness, and gave them the lands of the heathen. And they inherited the labor of the people, that they might observe His statutes and keep His laws. Praise you, the Lord. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. So we have this psalm essentially divided up into, three different sections. The first section is the requirement that God presses upon all of His people. And what is that? It is the requirement to give praise and thanks to Him. It's to remember what He has done. Now, the rest of the psalm goes on to discuss some of those things that God has done and why we ought to give thanks. But let's just pause for a moment here in the first few verses, verses 1 through 7, and remember our duty as God's people. Remember what the Lord has pressed to our hearts to do. And what is that? That is to give thanks to Him and to praise Him for the things He's done. It is indeed the bent of the enemy of our souls, the strategy of his procedure to move us off from that, to get us to focus on that which we don't have, to get us to thinking on what we lack, and to get us to murmur and to complain about what we don't have, rather than to pull up, stop, meditate upon what God has given us, and to give thanks for it. To remember what we truly deserve for our sins, and then to rejoice and give thanks for His mercy. So verses 1 through 7 call upon the people of God to give thanks, to call upon His name, that is, to the exclusion of all others, to make His deeds known, to acknowledge Him in all of our ways, to sing psalms, to talk of His works, to glory in His name, to rejoice in the heart, because we're His people, to seek Him, to seek His strength and not our own, to seek His face forever, that is, to seek His approval, to seek His favorable countenance, to seek to please Him, in other words. To remember His works, to speak of them, to remember the judgments of His mouth, and to acknowledge then His lordship and His sovereignty over us. Those 12 things in verses 1 through 7. We come to the second section of Psalm 105, and I have that as verses 8 through 24. In that section, we recount the goodness of the Lord from Abraham all the way through Jacob's sojourn into Egypt. And I want you to think with me about the several places in Scripture over and over again. We have people standing up and giving praise to God, and part of what they do when they do that is they show themselves to be pretty good students of the Scripture, pretty good students of the history of God's redeemed people. You might remember Stephen in Acts chapter 7, when he stands and gives his testimony before the Sanhedrin, for which he was stoned, if you remember. But what does he do when he gives that testimony? He just, from one end to the other, a nice running history of God's goodness to His people over and over and over again, even in the midst of their stiff necks and hard hearts. God shows His goodness over and over again. The psalmist here does the same thing. He is recounting the great things that God did for His people all the way from the days of Abraham to when Jacob went down and sojourned in what's called the land of Ham, in other words, Egypt. And you remember that, don't you? You remember that in the days of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord had made great and wondrous promises to Abraham, and the people were reluctant to leave the land because the Lord had given them that land as a type of their heavenly inheritance. And so they didn't want to leave that. That would be to forsake the Lord's promise, according to their mind. And the Lord appeared to Jacob at night in a dream after that Joseph had sent his brethren back and said, finally, after having identified himself, bring my father down to Egypt. And it was indeed the sending of Israel and his family into Egypt that was their salvation in that day, because there was no bread anywhere else. But he had sent Joseph ahead. And even in the midst of what seemed like a looming disaster, the Lord had a plan. The Lord had a purpose of mercy and grace for his people. And that's what we remember in verses 8 through 24. Notice that when they get down there, they go down with 70 principal folks, and they leave some 230 years or 215 or so years later with over 2 million people. Converts out of Egypt themselves, and then also the multiplication of the family of Jacob, they leave together with over 2 million in just a little over two centuries later. All right, so then in the in the third section there, in the final section of Psalm 105, verses 25 through the end, we are also encouraged here because notice that they got down to Egypt and they became a force there to be reckoned with. And the Egyptians began to fear them. Not only that, but the Egyptians began to fear their God. And so the Lord sent Moses, it is time then to lead my people out of Egypt. And Pharaoh would not let them go. And so there is a brief recounting of the plagues here, one right after the other. And you remember that each one of those plagues was striking against a particular deity of Egypt. That they had their god of the river. Actually, they worshipped the river itself. They had the god of the sky and of the sun. Remember, it went dark. They had the god that watched over their crops, and they were gone. And over and again, the Lord showed himself powerful over the gods of the Egyptians. And finally then, he, as they worshiped Pharaoh as god, from the least of them, even to the Pharaoh's household, his own firstborn son died. And they said, get out of here, you and your flocks and your herds, and take these gifts, so that we might ingratiate ourselves unto you as you leave. Please pray for us. Remember what Pharaoh said? Pray for me and my stricken nation, as he sent them out. And so out they went. And they went out with great substance. And they went out so that they might do what Moses originally said to Pharaoh when he came into his presence. Let my people go, that they may offer up a feast to me in the wilderness, the Lord says. And what did Pharaoh say? Who is the Lord? Well, by the end of 10 plagues, he knew, didn't he? He knew who the Lord was. And so did the people of God. And they went out greatly encouraged. And yet, as we continue on in the history, after all of that blessing, after all of that work on their behalf, after a mighty deliverance, a stretched out arm, after the parting of the Red Sea, after the entrance into the wilderness, they came to Kadesh Barnea, largely a company of unbelievers. And so we recognize also in this psalm, although it is not particularly mentioned, we recognize the ability of the human heart to deceive itself, do we not? But let's end on the high note that the psalm ends. He brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness. He remembered his servant Abraham and the covenant that he had made, because God is the promise-honoring, covenant-keeping God. And so they came out. They came out with great substance. Not one of them lacked, it says. They inherited the labor of the people from whom they came out, and the lands into which they went. And then notice that the purpose is given for all of these things. Why was the Lord so gracious? Why was the Lord so merciful? Why was the Lord so mighty on their behalf? What is the last line? That they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. Notice that it is a praise. It is a mercy. It is grace to have such an estate as we have. Because all of that recounting of the history of old is used by the apostles in the New Testament to teach us that the coming out of Egypt, that's simply a type. That's a type for our being delivered from the slave market of sin and being brought into the rights and privileges of the sons and daughters of God as the adopted of his, so that what? We also might honor his statutes, keep his commandments, learn to walk in ways that please him, and to turn away from who we were before he brought us out. No longer slaves then. Understanding the true meaning of Christian liberty, that is, that we are now free to serve the Lord our God. As Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, said of old, that we might, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, serve him without fear all the days of our life in holiness and righteousness before him. Thus ends the reading then of Psalm 105.